fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com. You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
That means we're starting. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to the
Happy to be here.
Hype Seat. Thank you so much for being here. Tell the good people like who you are, what you do for a living.
So I am Tim Rodland. I'm a real estate broker in the Bahamas, and I own Rodland Real Estate.
It's so cool to me that you sell real estate in the Bahamas. You are Bahamian, right?
Yeah, Bahamian American.
Where were you born?
In Nassau.
Oh, so you were born in the Bahamas.
I was born in the Bahamas, but I grew up between there and New York City. So it was always this like best of both worlds. Had like this high, fast-paced city life and then this slow-paced island life. And it just, it's how I ended up in the Bahamas.
Where did you grow up in New York? Or where did
Manhattan.
You live when
we
you were
in Manhattan?
I always think it's so fascinating when people grew up in Manhattan. The first thing that I always think of is like, okay, so if you play rec soccer and then you go to the grocery store and you get a Gatorade and then you go to like a friend's birthday party and it's at their house. Like, are you taking a car to those different things? Are like, because here
you're jumping on the train,
like here we're jumping in our like Suburbans, right? And we're driving and it's like you stop at the Publix, you go through the drive through Starbucks. I feel like moms in New York, like carting their kids. How does that even...
Well, when we were growing up, it was like we did everything in one place. So we had like after school activities at the school. And then, you know, after that, it was, OK, we want to go to the park. That's in one place. So you would go to like, you know, ice skating rink or wherever it may have been.
But yeah. So fascinating to me. And then that juxtaposed with being in the Bahamas, too. Like in the Bahamas, you must have just had like free reign to do.
Yeah.
Like to totally different. Literally go to wherever you want.
Yeah. Walking around barefoot. You can't do that in the city.
I was going to say barefoot, but I felt like I was going too hard in the Banana Republic direction. Is Banana Republic, is that like derogatory? No, right?
I don't know. I guess it depends on who you ask, but it may be offensive to some people. But it, you know, I don't.
Like that's not a slur, right?
No, I never took it that way, but maybe people would. I don't know.
Well, we'll find out. If you find that offensive, make sure you tell us in the comments. Hard. Like go in hard. I love an offended third party. If it is offensive, we don't mean it that way.
No, not at all.
So one of the things that I think is so interesting as someone who also grew up internationally and bouncing back and forth and whatever is how I, at least, and tell me if this is true for you. I developed such a sense of community to where I grew up in Germany. And also it's like you have two feet in two different places. I feel like where I grew up in Germany in this like small town, I feel like I just know it like the back of my hand. Right. Like is the Bahamas, like, do you feel like heritage with the Bahamas?
I feel like a hybrid. I've never really painted myself as a true New Yorker. I never really painted myself as a full on Bahamian. I felt like the way I always grew up thinking was we just had the best of both worlds. You know, I had this experience that gave me the work ethic like a New Yorker, but with an island background or flair. So that was kind of the way I always looked at my life and my experiences. And that's another part of the reasons why I've done so well in the Bahamas, because I bring that sort of background, really helps me to relate to a lot of customers that we work with, because they're like, wow, you understand the nuances of the Bahamas, but you understand me because you are from where I'm from, or you understand where I grew up. And it really has helped me in a lot of ways. And I feel like when you travel like yourself, like you grew up in, like your mind, your brain opens up to another level.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of people, I mean, small town people, they just can't see beyond a small town. Like, and
yeah,
the world is so much bigger to you, and your network and everything is just based on your background.
Like, it makes you easier. It makes it easy, at least for me, like to fit in. Like, I can go anywhere and it, like, I don't even think twice about it.
So when we were growing up, my mom sent us to summer schools in Paris.
Oh, interesting.
Summer schools in Spain every year.
Interesting.
So, and not just there, we had to live with a family.
Yeah, host family. Yeah.
We had to do that. And I was actually with a client friend of mine yesterday, and he was like, man, your mom is such a visionary with that. Like, that you guys, and because he just went, moved to like the UK, and then he came back, and he was like, man, I gave the best opportunity to my kids for when, you know, because they're young kids and they were living in the UK for like a year. And he was like, even if it didn't work out, that whole experience just is going to open their mind to another level. And I always remembered my experience because, you know, like Spain, Paris, all these different things at like 11th, 10th grade, my mom researched all of these programs and she was like, this is where you're going this summer. This is where you're going next summer. So we already knew. And it was like me and my sister. So I didn't feel completely alone, but she had another family. I had another family.
Oh my God.
And then eventually it was like the cousins, my mom's like, you need to get your kids. So anyway, that's what, and I really,
that's brilliant.
Yeah.
And she wanted us to learn a language. That was where it started.
I was just going to say that. Like, what was her motivation for language?
To language. And she wanted us to realize that the Bahamas was, the world was bigger than this just little island that we lived on.
Mm-hmm.
So she just wanted us to have worldly experiences because she recognizes that, especially in the job market, because my mom always thought like I was going to work in a corporate world. It was like, you need to have these experiences to be competitive.
Yeah, it's true. Are there a lot of like people like you that have dual, like that flex back and forth between the States and the Bahamas?
For sure. Remember, there's a lot of expats there that come there to work. They come there and of course they end up having, you know, wives and girlfriends. And I feel like a lot of people come to the Bahamas and they end up never leaving. So it's like,
really?
Yeah, used to this place.
Talk a little bit about like who your clients are and like the ultra luxury real estate space in the Bahamas.
So there are actually a lot of very international people, guys from Monaco, UK, Miami, Latin Americans, Europeans, Canadians. It's a very eclectic group of people that come to the Bahamas for many reasons.
And is it people that are relocating there or people that are buying second homes, third homes, fifth homes?
Depends on the individual, but it can be those that want like residency or tax reasons. There's multiple reasons why somebody would buy in the Bahamas.
I think that, so following you on social media and like obviously knowing you personally, I feel like your life as a real estate broker in the Bahamas is so, it seems so luxurious and awesome. And you're like hopping between islands, showing homes. And what we were talking about before we started rolling was like, you have the same problems that we do here. If and when Trump is in town, we can't launch our drone, for example, or a street will be closed. And so having to tell a like multimillionaire, and it's not that they're so wealthy, it's that their time is so finite. And so if they come into town and Trump is in town and we can't show the one house that they came in to see, it's like, how do you even explain that to the guy?
So interesting. I never would have even thought that that would have been a problem here.
It's crazy.
So you kind of have to like see Trump's schedule and then like, okay, don't come here then.
Yeah, it's super beneficial actually when he's in office, and this is politics aside, I don't want to touch the politics of it, but when he's in office, his schedule is public. And so it actually benefits us if he's in office because we can see it. But my point was you were just saying that there was like it's the same problem that you have, like property on and off the market.
Yeah.
Millionaires flying to the Bahamas and it's like
coming to look at it. And then we make them an offer and now all of a sudden they don't want to sell. This is the second time we're doing this with the exact same buyer.
It makes you look ridiculous. Like such an idiot when you have to go back.
It totally
like,
does. Those that bring it to our attention, like, oh, they pivot to something else. And then we pivot and then we do the same thing. And then, no, we don't want to do it anymore. It's just, it becomes really frustrating. And it just really makes us look like a banana republic.
How long have you been selling real estate?
16 years.
How have things shifted in the last 16 years in terms of this like international buyer who is buying in the Bahamas? Like, talk a little bit about that.
Well, 16 years ago, the island was not what it is today, particularly Nassau. And I should say the entire Bahamas. I mean, we're far more developed than we were then than we are now. Now it's, I mean, we have the Atlantis, the Bahamas. Those resorts have really anchored in real estate, like truly like have made people see the Bahamas in a different light. And a lot of the brands, like the SLSs, all of these brands and these, so they're doing a shit ton of marketing, right? So now the Bahamas is out there on a bigger scale. I mean, just to put things into perspective, 5 or 6 years ago, I think we were getting like 5 million tourists. We're now up to like 9 million.
No way.
Post-COVID.
Wow.
It's like pre-COVID, it's just crazy.
Yeah. There are tax benefits to living in the Bahamas, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're a high net worth person, if you are a full-time Bahamian?
If you become a resident of the Bahamas, you're technically offshore. And if you become offshore, and in some countries they say if you take up residency in a second country, you can either reduce your taxes or you can, if you can prove that you are living in the place where you have residency, you're not eligible to pay tax in your own country. Obviously, us Americans, we're taxed worldwide. Mm-hmm. But for Canadians, Europeans, certain places, Latin Americans, they come to the Bahamas not just for the sun, sand, and the sea, but because there's also tax benefits. So even though you're buying a place for $500,000 to $1 million, the tax savings over a longer period kind of makes sense. And you're buying real estate, which, you know, you could sell mm-hmm. later. You can utilize it.
Yeah.
There's just so many benefits of buying real estate versus buying stocks or something else. But there's actual reasons for people buying there outside of just the sun, sand, and sea. There's tax benefits for that as well.
So as an American, though, you don't experience the same tax benefits because you would still pay income tax in the States, right?
Yeah, I still pay taxes on my income.
So if I wanted to as an American, so forgetting all the international stuff, let's say I'm like a high net worth American. If I buy real estate in like Albany, like if I go and I look at Albany with you, I fall in love with the property. I want to move there. I'm a day trader, so I can do that and work from home. As an American, am I still paying? I'm still paying income tax in the States, right?
It's a lifestyle play if you're an American.
Got it. Okay.
If you're an American, it's plain lifestyle. I love the boating. I love the beach. I love being in sun, sand, and sea. I love being in this warm weather. I like the energy, the community. That's what you're buying.
Got it. Okay. But internationally, there are a lot of, like, if you're coming from the EU, you wouldn't pay. I mean, in Germany, you wouldn't pay taxes. You would pay.
Well, every country's different. So I can't say for Canadians, for example, if you take up residency in the Bahamas and you can prove that you're outside of the country for, I think it's 180 days or so. Mm-hmm. And you're no longer living in Canada, you become a non-dom resident, which means that you're not paying taxes in Canada anymore. And so that you have a lot of wealthy Canadians that come down to the Bahamas and they set up residency there because they're saving taxes. They're not paying capital gains tax. They're not paying inheritance tax. They're not paying dividends tax. They're not paying corporate tax. They're not paying. So it just this goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
The only tax we pay in the Bahamas is VAT, which is like a sales tax.
Yeah, retail. Yeah.
So outside of that, you have property taxes. Mm-hmm. And then we have import duties, which is why everything in the Bahamas is so expensive. So the government makes their money on VAT duties, which is to bring in a car. So like to bring in a $50,000 car, you might pay 40, 50% on that just to bring it in.
Being in Florida and selling real estate in Palm Beach, I've been just exposed to so much strategery around how high net worth families structure their things that I think people just, if you have never seen it in action, it's hard to understand why someone would go so far out of their way to buy a home somewhere for the tax benefits of, but you know, when you're dealing with millions and millions and millions of dollars and the advisors who know this stuff inside and out as a real estate professional, I'm always on the fringe, like almost like with my ear to the door being like, wait, what do we do? It's like, it doesn't apply to me, but for you, I love that.
Yeah. Like the I mean, buyer. Knowing these things helps you as an agent because then you're offering value to them.
Yeah.
Real value. Like I'm not going to advise you on tax stuff. I refer you to a guy that could advise you on this stuff. I never really get into that world, but I know from my own experience, but being able to have some level of knowledge about it, it really helps you when you're selling real estate.
Oh yeah, for sure. How often does it happen where someone is in the Bahamas and they like on a trip and they want to see real estate in real time or like, and I'm asking because that happens to us here in Florida where it's like, hey, I'm in town.
So our busy season for real estate is around high season for tourism. So anywhere from Thanksgiving weekend all the way up to May, June, and then it's slow again because everybody's on holiday in Europe and vacationing all over the world and it's warm everywhere.
Yeah.
It's the snow bunnies that want to get away from the sun.
Yeah.
And they want to end up on a beach somewhere.
Yeah.
And then that's when they're there and they're like, I really like this place. I could see us being here. I want to take a look at real estate. So yeah, Christmas season, busy. January, February, busy. It's always been like that.
If someone is like, wants to buy a home in the Bahamas, and let's say that their budget is up to $10 million. They don't want to be in a club.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
And I'm going to ask the same question for when they want to be in a club, but they don't want to be in a club. They want a like family style compound. Is there an island that you have like more of an affinity for than others? Or like, cause to me, it just seems like so overwhelming. Like the Bahamas there's so many islands and so many, like, how do you know everything? Like, it's fascinating to me how you would.
Well, when I meet people, I can always tell where I think they would fit in better or where they would like based on what their wants and needs are. So it's like when somebody meets you and they're like, hey, we want this kind of seclusion, yet we need to be somewhere near easily accessible. We're an international airport. We need to have this and that and the third. And then I know, okay, well, where are they coming from? Americans like Abaco. So Abaco's a good fit. If you're European, you might like Eleuther more because it's more that kind of low-key vibe that they may like. So I'm pretty good at, after doing this for so long and pairing people with properties. I'm not saying we're not going to look at both. We may, but at least I can, like, even with the guy that I was with now that was doing this deal with, I told him right off the bat on the first call, I was like, you're going to be a good fit for this neighborhood. We did the whole tour and we ended up right back there. And I was like, I told you so.
You love it when that happens.
Yeah. It's because I just know. I mean, there's certain people, you have waspy clients that like to be in a certain area. You have other celebrities that like to be in another. So you just know where you would fit in and where they would fit in.
Yeah, you have to go and look at all the others. Yeah,
they need to see it because they need to know they're making a good decision, mm-hmm. and that they've seen all the options. They're not just going to make that decision because, well, Tim says that's where we need to be, so we need to be there. No, you have to show them everything. Let them get a feel for the market, because when they're coming there, they don't understand the market. So when I'm doing it, it's like, okay, let's go see the best of what's available in each one of these communities, and then you feel it out, and then, okay, you like this area, we'll narrow it down, and then we'll see some more in that area.
I think one of the things that makes you so unique as a Bahamian broker is how fast you operate. Like, for my experience with doing very light business in the Bahamas, which includes like trying to find a videographer for something, like literally getting people to call you back is
it's
unbelievable.
And I think that's what my superpower was. When I started real estate, I said, all right, there's a lot of people in real estate for sure. Just like there are lawyers and there are a lot of doctors. But what makes the difference between the average one and the great one? They're all doing the exact same thing. It's just, I always felt that to connect with people, you need to over-communicate. Mm-hmm. I think communication in real estate is paramount. Like, how many times I've heard clients say, I gave that person my listing and they never called me back. I never heard from them ever since. Mm-hmm. Or they just don't keep in touch. People just want to know that you're doing something. People are like, well, what should I call them? What should I say to them? I'm like, that's your update. Your update is, hey, nothing's really going on right now. Here's what's happening. This is what I think. But some people are just reluctant to do that. I always try to find things to... I looked at the culture of the Bahamas and how they operated, and I'm like, if you want to do well, you can't do that because that's the status quo. And I never follow the status quo, because if you want to do something great and be great at anything, you have to differentiate yourself from what most people are doing. And I thought that was a great opportunity to bring in. Well, of course, I came from a different, my background being American Bahamian, I had best of both worlds. So I brought that into my business, and that just was who I was. And I am who I say I am.
I love the no update update. That's so relatable. Like, tell them you don't have an update. That's an update.
That's an update.
Do you feel like it's the New Yorker in you, or is that just like third kid of four? Like, you just have no chill. I feel like you have no chill. Like,
really?
Yeah. Like, that's my experience with you.
I'm rigid. I'm very like, all right, let's get this done. I can accomplish so much. Like, I really can. And it's just because I am focused. I have a strategy. I have a plan. I don't stop until I get it done. I literally work from 7 to 7 just about every day. And it's because I'm just very regimented. I get things done, and what I can accomplish today, I won't move till tomorrow.
Have you always been like that?
Always. My mom always, I was just always a go-getter. My mom always calls it get up and go. Mm-hmm. I can just get shit done. Other people are just like, we'll get to it when we get to it. You know what I mean? I just never had that philosophy.
It's funny because I feel like the thing that makes you so unique as a, like, if I have a buyer for the Bahamas, which happens fairly frequently, there's nobody else I would even consider sending them to but you, because you are who you say you are. Exactly. And you deliver. And one of the things that I'm most impressed with you, it's like, you are updating me faster than I think I need an update. If I refer you to someone, like,
my objective was always treat everybody the same, with the same level of service, from the ultra wealthy to the poor, because if I continue to do this, I'm going to build a referral business that is going to be on steroids.
How patient are you with like the touristy kind of buyers? Like, if someone wants to go look at real estate in the Bahamas.
Well, my first question is, have you seen real estate here before? have you been here before? No, we've never been here before. And it's like, okay, well, I will be as nice as possible, but I probably, unless they came highly referred to me, I probably would just have them contact somebody else, because I've been a tour guide 1,000 times and I just don't have time for that. And it's not to say anything bad about that person. I'm just at a point in my career where I reserve time for the things that actually make a difference or that can help, rather than wasting time on things that just don't.
Yeah. Oh my God. The most powerful thing is no, thank you. So to qualify what you mean by being a tour guide for anyone not in real estate, explain what that means.
It means somebody that's just a looky-loo. They're just tire kickers. They're just looking for someone to pick them up, to give them a tour of the island, see some real estate. And
yeah.
They're back on the ship, or they're back at the hotel, and then they're back home.
The theoretical buyer. Like, in theory, it would be great to buy something here. Like, let's go figure it out.
This guy will pick me up from the airport and I don't have to pay a taxi? Like, what?
Yeah. So do you have to have a real estate license to practice real estate in the Bahamas?
100%. And we have a very strict association.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Regulation is like really strict in the Bahamas, right?
Well, real estate association,
like in general,
is very strict. I think we've just got a good handle on our real estate industry in the Bahamas. And we've tried to avoid people coming into the Bahamas trying to sell real estate when they don't know anything about the real estate market, or foreign brokers trying to sell. Like, if we get wind of it, like, there's repercussions.
Oh, interesting.
So we have been very, I mean, there's, it happens all the time where people are like, they know a guy in California has a property in the Bahamas and they want to sell it. And that person doesn't know any better, but we kind of, the real estate association has been very good at shutting that.
How long do you need, like, to get your real estate license? Is it like on, can you do the course online?
In the Bahamas?
Guessing not.
For the Bahamas?
Yeah.
No, it's a physical course, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, exams on Saturday. So it's a full, that's the entry level course. Mm-hmm. And then of course we have the CRSs that you have to take to be a broker, the BRIs. Like, there's 7 or 8 courses I think you have to take over.
Oh, interesting.
And then there's, to become a broker also, you need to have sales requirements. Mm-hmm. X amount of sales, dollar value, all these sort of things.
How long have you been a broker?
Maybe 10, 12 years.
From day one, did you feel like you knew what you were doing, or was there like a learning curve?
No, I kind of stumbled on it. The aha moment to me was like, okay, I can continue to do this, was when I earned the respect from some, like, a very well-known billionaire. After that, I realized, okay, I can continue to do this. I never really...
Wait, go back to the billionaire. How did they find you? Did you represent them?
It was a referral. I represented the seller. He was a very shrewd businessman, and he was... Matter of fact, to the point, very like, I didn't get here from being nice kind of guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he wasn't easy to deal with. He was the kind of guy, like, if you don't deliver, you're gone. And so that really helped me to elevate my game and realize, okay, if I don't do this, I'm going to lose this listing. So I worked my ass off. But I never got complacent. I never felt that, oh, I've arrived. I never got that feeling. I never will, because I always am the type of person that's always improving. And it's probably one of the things that is probably not the best, because I'm not the person that's going to celebrate, oh yeah, we did that, and then jump right back at it. I'm like, yeah, we did a great job, but how can we fix it? Or how can we do something better? I just have that kind of growth mindset where it's like, we don't stop until we die.
Yeah.
We just keep going.
Yeah. My interactions with you, I feel like, are always around personal development things. I think there's a humility factor there and like a lack of ego factor there too. When it's like, cool, I made the sale, I don't care. Let's talk about how I can do it better. Yeah.
So true. And I was just thinking, this is, real estate agents talk too much.
Yeah.
They don't know when to shut up. And 9 out of 10 times when they're talking, it's ego-based. You can see a broker with dollar signs in his eyes from a mile away.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just never took that philosophy, but you see it a lot in our industry. And it's something that actually really bothers me, is that it's just riddled with mediocrity. It's just because the barrier to entry is too low. A lot of people get in the business just because they don't really want to work. They're just like, we like the free time that it gives us.
Well, if I'm being honest, though, that is what attracted, there are a bunch of things that attracted me to real estate. One of the things was, I love marketing. And if I'm being honest, it's the lowest barrier to entry in the States, at least, yeah, into marketing, sure, right? Real estate attracts some odd ducks, and I'm an odd duck. Like, I don't like the corporate world. So it's funny, like, I love that criticism. But I think also, if you like, why are you not in the corporate world?
Yeah. Well, the same reasons as you.
Yeah.
I was always great at sales. I always had a knack for sales when I was a kid, and like, I could sell ice cream to an Eskimo. But I was drawn into the business just like you, because I did not want to sit at a desk all day. Mm-hmm. So I was. But what happens is, I think a lot of people get in here and they think, oh, it's going to be easy. I'll do, you know, 1 or 2 sales a year, and I'll be, you know, I'll make just as much money or more. And then they don't really apply themselves. It's just, they come in with this philosophy, it's going to be easy because this person did it, and if he can do it, then I can do it. And I love that attribute that you think because he did it, you can do it. That's a great thing to have, but you have to truly apply yourself.
Yeah.
Like dive in. There's just a lot of people come in there and I think the statistic, like 50% of the people that come into real estate drop out after the first year.
Yeah. Before you start selling real estate, what did you do?
When I graduated college, I came in and did insurance sales.
Oh, interesting.
Which was very interesting because I was selling life insurance and health insurance, and how many college graduate kids are interested in buying health insurance?
None.
Exactly.
Especially in the recession.
I managed to do it. I said to my dad one day, I was like, you know, I think I want to do real estate. And I just applied somewhere and started and then worked, then moved around, got to learn the business, and just worked my way up from there. I didn't know a soul coming into the business.
Did you sell real estate in the States ever? Are you licensed in the States?
No, I'm not.
Did you go to college in the States?
I did.
Where'd you go?
It's a school called Clarkson, upstate New York.
So you went from like... hard sales to harder sales, in my opinion, like complex sale. Like I think selling insurance is complex. Like you have to know your product. You're selling people.
Like you're
risk.
Selling people. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But what I do credit to insurance is that I learned some really cool skill sets. You have to have the gift of gab if you can sell something that doesn't exist.
If I'm buying a piece of, I'm using Harbor Island as an example because I just freaking love it, but also it's a really good like ecosystem. What does my budget have to be able to buy a house on Harbor Island?
I would say a starting budget, maybe $3 million. You can find some stuff here and there that might be a little bit cheaper, but I would say that you 3.5 or so just on average, and it goes up from there.
What are the carrying costs like in the Bahamas? Like, what do I need to take into consideration to have as part of that?
Well, you have your property tax, which is going to be 1% of the value. You're going to have your maintenance cost, of course, being on the water, that's I'm sure you could appreciate. You guys live on the water here too.
Wait, dive into that for anyone that doesn't know what you are saying.
Yeah, salt just rusts
you
everything.
Up.
It does.
Salt is like, it fucks you up. It fucks everything up. Everything, your rubber, your coatings, your paint, everything.
Yeah. So you have the maintenance, you have the utilities, of course, you have landscaping, insurance.
Do people buy insurance if you're paying cash in the Bahamas?
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
Some people do because they are fearful that if a hurricane comes, most people would self-insure if you're buying cash. But there are some people, I mean, it's a line item. If you want it to be zero or you want it to be 40 grand a year, then it can be whatever you want it to be. But carrying costs can vary. I mean, look, it can start, I would say, anywhere at minimum to about, for an asset like 3-6 million, I would say anywhere from 30 grand up to 120, just depending on where it is. If it's located on the water and you got a dock and there's a king tide and the water comes in, like it, you have, if you have grass, I mean, you're next to salt, so you have to water it constantly, just to make, you know, there's a lot of different factors. So it just depends on where it is. But Harbor Island's a great island. I love Harbor Island too.
Well, and then your grocery bill is going to be like $40,000 a day.
Groceries are expensive.
I could not believe how much money we spent on food. The most recent time I was there, I was like,
it's very expensive.
Actually paying attention.
Just to go out to dinner is $500 for two people.
Yeah. And it's love that for Harbor Island. I there's something about it that like every time, the whole three times I've been, it's like, well, good for you, Harbor Island. I'm going to pay that $500 for a sip, which I sink. What is it? Sink? What's the
sip?
Yeah. Did it close?
I went to the 3 weeks ago. I met Julie, which is the owner there, and she had a pop up. So I was there a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, no kidding.
But she is opening up Sip again. It's going to be at Remora. Do you know where Remora is?
Yeah.
So on the water, they're building a structure there for the new Sip.
So back up. So you look here just like Julie, the owner. I was just there. Like, you know everybody.
Yeah.
So cool. I love Sip. Like, that's like.
It's great. The lobster quesadilla.
So good. Yeah. And just the whole vibe there is the best. So if you own a property on Harbor Island, do you get to know, like, there's the Julie that owns the Sip and she's moving it to the thing. Like, that's kind of the vibe, right? Like, you know everybody, right? Like, even if you're a second home person,
it's a community, just like anywhere. You get to know the pool guys. You get to know the landscaping people or the restaurants nearby. Like, I'm sure you know the owner of the restaurant right up there, right? I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's just a community thing. If you're visiting a place enough, you get to meet the people that are behind it.
So I know nobody. You know everybody. Can you set me up with my landscaper and my maintenance person? And like,
absolutely.
Like, is that part of the value that you bring to
buyers? Definitely. And look, it's not to say that I don't know, like, I can make a phone call and I can find out who are the best landscapers on the island.
Yeah.
Every island's different. I'm not going to hire somebody from Nassau to come over there once a week. And, you know, you need to find local people there. But yeah, it's easy for me to pair you with people, say, hey, Tim, I need someone to do this or someone to do that.
We're going
to
play a little game here. If I love Ocean Reef Club, where in the States, where would you take me in the Bahamas?
Life or tea.
If I'm a Discovery Land Company person, but I don't want Baker's Bay, what's an alternative to Baker's Bay in the Bahamas?
Albany.
Identical.
Really?
Basically. I mean, they're pretty much the same. I mean, I compare Albany and Baker's. The difference is that Baker's is more of an out-island experience, whereas Albany is more of just more accessible because it's in Nassau. So you have a lot more options. You're near healthcare, international air flights. You don't have to get on a boat when you get to Abaco and then take a boat over to Baker's. It's just logistically, it's a bit easier, but it's a similar market.
Do you prefer, personally, do you prefer Albany or Baker's?
You know, it depends on what I'm looking for. It's like, I love Abaco's. I like go to Hopetown, Elbow Key. I like to go to all these places, but it just depends on the mood. Like if you're looking for like that barefoot luxury, then Baker's Bay. If you want something a bit more sophisticated where, you know, you have like paddle and golf and all these things wrapped up, but still have access to a lot of restaurants, and then Albany.
People in Florida love going to the Bahamas, like love it. They'll run over on their boats. They go to West End, right? Like that's right here.
Yep.
That's where it would be, right? And it's funny, actually, Jupiter people in particular have, like when a hurricane will come through, like there will be locals in Jupiter loading up their boats and like getting out to the Bahamas in no time before, like they won't even wait for anybody to organize anything because they know family is at West End or, you know, on the other side. So if you're a Jupiter based person and what's a good, like underrated place to consider buying real estate where you can, let's say you are a boat person, you have a boat where you can run over on your boat, go to your own house and come back.
Bimini, anywhere in the northern Bahamas, the Berry Islands, Grand Bahama, West End, they actually have a huge American base because of that. You can leave your house at 5 o'clock after work and be in Bimini for dinner.
How does that work like with Coast Guard? Like, do you have to like when you're re-entering the United States water, like.
I've never done the crossing, so I couldn't tell you. I don't know. You'd have to ask like Nikki. She doesn't.
Yeah, I'm just like Nikki would know that. Like, does the Coast Guard come and be like, make sure you're like, can you just enter American?
I think it's to pay a permit to enter Bahamian waters or vice versa. But I don't know if
that's a good question. We got to learn. Like, we got to figure that out. Like, can you just pull up to your house and be like, I'm here? Like, does anyone check your passport? If you own a home in the Bahamas, like, can you just pull up?
I mean, yeah, you do. I mean, when you're coming straight into the Bahamas, I think you're supposed to check in. There is protocol to check in somewhere if you are doing it. I don't know how many people actually do it. And it's really hard to monitor as well.
Interesting. Like, I feel like entering the Bahamas, there's probably a lot of regulation around that. But also entering the U.S. is probably right now, especially like ICE is like lurking at every corner.
Sure.
Like, what is your right now? We're summer 2025. What is the hottest, like underrated area of the Bahamas right now?
You know, there's a lot of cool spots in the Bahamas. I really like the Exumas, like around Staniel Key area. I really love that area, Pipe Key. I really like Eleuthera. I like the Abacos. I like Spanish Wells, Lake Harbor Island. The usual places. I mean, there's so many great places. It's just, you know, I'm not one to go and look at, go to see the pigs and stuff like that. I've been there, done that, but it's not.
Can we talk about the pigs?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Okay, so when you and I first met, I jumped in so hard on the pigs. Like, what is the deal? Like, to me, okay, let me just level set this for the audience. I think the pigs, I don't understand why the pigs are such a tourist attraction. No, let me rephrase that. I understand why the pigs are a tourist attraction. People are into animals, whatever. But as a real estate professional myself, I immediately am thinking, like, do we have to mitigate? If you buy a property with pigs on it, do you have to mitigate those? Like, what do you do if you buy a piece of real estate and there are wild pigs on your property? Like, can you just, like, get rid of that? Like, can you just...
Well, you can't just bring pigs anywhere anymore. There's so many regulations now. Like, in land, there's covenants, like, no wild animals, no livestock. No
well, pigs. Especially swine, too. Like, there's, like, regulation because of the... Like, there's a lot of health things with these pigs. So you buy real estate in the Exumas. There are wild pigs on your property. Are you allowed to get rid of those?
In all fairness, the pigs got there. And this is why I really believe that this is what happened. And there's a lot of theory around it. But when travelers were coming, they used to leave their livestock on these private islands. So you're not going to find pigs in Exumas. It's just like one particular area.
Oh, really?
They would leave them there.
They make it seem like there's like pigs everywhere.
They're just the pig beach. in Exuma is the only place you can find it. It's just the Pig Beach.
Oh.
And then they set these up now as tourist attractions. So now like Rose Island and all these other places are now bringing pigs because it's like a big thing on Good Morning America or wherever.
Yeah, Instagram.
Whatever, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I get it. People were fascinated. Pigs can swim? Like, really? And that's how it started. And then it just like everybody started, okay, you want to see the swimming pigs? And then they started paying a landing fee to feed these pigs. And it just kind of blew up. And then Bahamians took advantage of it. They were like, oh my God, if people like this, let's go and get some pigs on this beach nearby. Because to get to Exuma from Nassau, if you're coming to Bahama, it's a schlep.
Yeah.
That's a 2 hour,
yeah.
2-3 hours on a boat just to see some pigs. So they started doing it closer to Nassau now. But you need permits to do that. Like, you can't put it on any beach. These people are placing these pigs out. These pigs are not running wild.
Okay, so that is less dramatic than I thought, at least. Yeah, in Florida, we have gopher tortoises. And it's like, if you have gopher tortoises, everyone thinks that they're cute until you have to mitigate them. And so
alligators and shit, too.
Oh, we have all kinds of stuff, yeah. So you are Bahamian and American. What do you still come to the States for?
So I have doctors at home that I can usually go to. But if I do need, like, surgery or something serious, I'd rather come here to, like, Sinai, hospital. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
not because the care is better, but because you're bougie, yes?
Well, I also, they're far more advanced with their technology here than they are in the Bahamas. I mean, look, we've got great technology and great doctors, so I'm not saying anything bad about that. But I think most Bahamians, when they have a big procedure, they rather come to a place where it's done the same surgery like 1,000 times versus someone that's done it 15 or 100.
You know? That's fair.
And so you just have more variety. Like, we have 2 hospitals in the Bahamas, so you're either going to the public one or you're going to the private one. So I will come here for that. I'll come here to get away. Simple shit like Chipotle and Chick-fil-A. And
really?
We don't have that in the Bahamas, right? So when we come here, I was like, I just want a pub sub. Yeah, random stuff, right? It's funny. We traveled all over the summer, but I love coming back. I love coming. There's something relaxing about just looking out at the water. There's something about just like, it just helps you decompress when you come to the islands. And it's just, I'm sure you could experience when you were in the Bahamas or even BVI, everything's just slower. I unfortunately still operate at the same pace, but my soul belongs near the water. And I think that's where I'm the most happiest with the sun. The sun has that effect on people, and it's just, for me, I'm really happy when I'm near the water.
That's such a good take. And I think it's so relatable. Like, I live in Florida, right? Yeah. But I was just in the BVI is like my, I hate using this phrase, but like my like special place, like, cause it also feels so European for me. Like, it feels like home to a little bit cause it's just international enough. It's different than the US Virgin Islands.
Right.
And it's different. I think the Bahamas is more Americanized than the BVI. Like, the BVI feels actually like it's
over 15 minutes away from the US. I mean, my flight was 30 minutes into Miami. Like, literally, like, wheels up to wheels down, it was like 30 minutes.
But it's a really good point that Florida, like, I could go to the beach here, but it's different if I'm there. And I think that's more island life, though, too. Like there's something about, like, psychologically, there's something about being contained on an island where, like, nothing else really matters because you're, like, you have the resources that you have there. And, like, there's just, it really is cathartic. Like, if my husband and I ever bought a second home internationally, it would be in the Bahamas or the BVI to really experience that, like, exhale. And it's interesting hearing you say that as a local, like that you experience it too.
I still feel that. I mean, look, you can get island fever. That's a real thing where it's like, oh, I just need to get off this rock and go somewhere else. And great. I mean, we have 5 flights to Miami a day. We have flights to New York, flights now to San Francisco. I mean, we have flights all over. So, I mean, Toronto, New York, Miami, wherever, London, wherever you want to go. It's just so accessible and easy to get to and from.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting from a real estate perspective. Like, if you're in Toronto, if you're in New York, like, that there are direct flights into Nassau that are just like lickety split. Like, you could get off work at, 1 o'clock on a Friday, take an early day, be at your house in Albany, and then be back for work on Monday. Yep. Like, that's an easy.
It's very easy.
Do people do that?
Yeah.
I think that you sell the most interesting thing, like the commodity of exhaling. Like, that's what that is. Like, if you're a high net worth person, you have disposable income. You have the ability to buy a second or third home. What you're selling ultimately is a shift in your energy. Is that fair?
It's very fair. And the thing is if you need to work, we're on Eastern Standard Time. If you decide that, I need to be in Miami at 12 o'clock, you just go to the airport and jump on a flight and you're there at 11, like, you'll be on time for your meeting. So, like, when shit comes up,
yeah,
you can still get to where you need to go.
Yeah. This is so interesting. Like, to me, going to Europe is not complicated. My father-in-law, his mom was Sicilian. And this is, I remember this conversation clear as day when my husband and I first started dating. My father-in-law said to me, you know, it's always been my dream to go to Italy and to go to Sicily. And in my head, I was like, just go. Get on a plane. Like, it's, and I'm saying that respectfully to also like it's not that expensive. First of all, like it costs the same amount to go to Michigan as it does to fly to Rome these days. But in my head, I think also growing up internationally, it's like, it's not that complicated.
Yeah.
But if you are,
it's intimidating for a lot of
people. Intimidating. Yeah.
It's intimidating. It's like, wait, I'm going halfway across the world. I'm on a plane for this long.
Yeah. And I think it's important. I think also to take that into consideration when, if you are in a market that sells like second homes, like Florida, I mean, we do sell a lot of second homes, and in the Bahamas too.
Your market's just very similar to ours.
It's very similar.
The only difference, I think, that a buyer would buy here versus the Bahamas is, one, they either have a connection here, and two, they're an American.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
And when I say American, it means that there's no tax benefits for them in being in the Bahamas.
Yeah. Dude, I didn't realize that. I'm so glad that you clarified that, because I feel like I've said that, and God bless you for not correcting me. I feel like I've said that multiple times where like, well, they're the tax, like I'll say like, they're the tax benefits of the Bahamas. Not like there are none, right?
For an American. That Americans can take advantage of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you buy, so you're like an international savant with real estate. If you buy in the like BVI, is what I was saying in that video true? Like that as an American.
I saw the first part where you were talking about how much you love BVI. I didn't. Yeah. Was there more to that story?
You need to go. I need to connect you with Roz. She's the broker for Corcoran at Oilnut Bay, because I think you probably have buyers for it. Need to go and look at it. It is the difference between the Bahamas is that in the BVI, it is like straight up. It's like that feeling of Italy, where the rocky side of Italy.
Because they have the mountains.
Yeah.
That's one thing the Bahamas doesn't have. We don't have any mountains. We're just flat.
Yeah. But you guys have golf for that. Like,
yeah.
The BVI doesn't have a lot of golf at all. Thank you for being here. I could ask you 1,000 questions. We're going to do a part two, because I'm going to think of 100 other questions that I have for you. You know, I'm so curious about I am so obsessed with that piece of content that you did, the boroughs in New York compared to Bahamian islands. I want you to do that about like everything. Like, I want to know the Bahamian version compared to like what it is in the United States. It's like so fascinating to me. Where can people, if they want to buy a home in the Bahamas, or if they have one in the Bahamas that they want to sell, where can they find you? What's the best way?
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
I connect.
You can call me. My number's 242-357-7475. My website is rodlandrealestate.com, or you can find me on Instagram just at Tim Rodland.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.